Happy Friday, Hope College. Hey, we want to extend a welcome today. We know it's a visitation today. So those of you who are visiting us, we are happy you're here. We would love to see you back next year in the future. Another quick announcement before we start this morning. This Sunday night at the gathering, Shane Claiborne is going to be preaching. And it is an event that is open to the community as well. So we just want to encourage you as Hope students to be aware that there'll be probably more people here. So you might want to consider coming early. We want you to be able to get a seat, so to be here for that. And then the third announcement is to remember that this week is Family Week, if you're Paul Borsma. And tomorrow morning, we have a great workshop planned starting at 9:30 right over there in Graves. And it's going to be led by somebody who I'm going to introduce to you now, Dr. Teresa Latini. Teresa was my professor, that's what they're called, over when I was a student at Western Seminary. And she is now a professor of doctoral students in counseling and over at another seminary in Minnesota, Luther Seminary. And she's one of those professors that is not only excellent in teaching, but just compassionate and understanding, and is just a wonderful presence in the classroom. And so I hope that, I'm excited we have a chance to learn from her today, and hope that you come tomorrow morning. So please welcome Teresa Latini to the pulpit this morning. Please welcome.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Speak to us and grant us the grace to hear and to trust you with ourselves and our families. In Christ's name, amen. The scripture verse I want to read for you today comes from Genesis chapter 37. And this is the story of Joseph and his not-so-functional family. Joseph was 17 years old, and he was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper, and Joseph brought a bad report of his brothers to their father. Now, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of them, they hated him and couldn't speak peaceably to him. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly, my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to mine." So his brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Will you have dominion over us?" And they hated him even more. Then Joseph's father sent him again to check up on his brothers. He went after them. They saw him at a distance, and they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Let's kill him, throw him into one of the pits. Then we'll say that a wild animal has devoured him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let's not take his life. Just throw him here into this pit, but lay no hand on him." And so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water for him there. And then they sat down to eat. They saw this caravan of Ishmaelites coming. And so they said, "Well, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites." And so they lifted him out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And then they took Joseph's robe, they slaughtered a goat, they dipped the robe in blood, and they took it to their father, saying, "Look, is this your son's robe?" He recognized it, and he said, "It is. A wild animal has devoured him. Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments, put on sackcloth, and mourned for many days. I have a confession to make. This season, I got hooked on the TV show Mad Men, which, excuse me, Paul and Kate, I think is a little more hip than the Brady Bunch. Now, on the season finale of Mad Men this week, Don Draper, the handsome, talented advertising executive, watched his family unravel. Don's wife unearthed his buried secret. See, Don had stolen a dead man's identity and then divorced the dead man's wife. Don had a father, a stepmother, a stepfather, and a half-brother that no one knew about. Oh, and his biological mother was a prostitute. Now, Don's shame and his cunning drove him to cut off from his family. He tried to wipe away his history, but he couldn't escape it this way. Instead, he ended up repeating the same relational patterns. Like his father, Don had multiple affairs and one-night stands and chronically abused alcohol. Don's wife was a lot like his mother. Rather than dealing with Don directly, she became passive-aggressive, took her anger out on her kids, triangled them in. The season of Mad Men ends with her heading off to Vegas to divorce Don, to remarry a suave local politician, one child on her lap, two at home with her nanny, the family unraveled. Secrets, betrayal, sexual infidelity, repetitions, cutoffs, none of these kinds of dynamics are foreign to God. None are beyond God's redemption. In fact, the Draper family from Mad Men seems pretty tame compared to Joseph's family. Consider a few of these facts. One of Joseph's sisters, Dinah, was raped. Joseph's older brothers wanted to avenge Dinah, but Joseph's father, Jacob, decided to marry her off to her rapist instead. Oh, and Judah, another one of Joseph's brothers, had sex with a prostitute, but the prostitute really wasn't a prostitute. She was his daughter-in-law. Jacob loved his son Joseph more than all his other children. Joseph was the golden boy. He got caught right in the middle of the animosity between his fathers and his brothers. And he didn't exactly act innocently in this. In this haughty tone, he proclaimed that one day he would be the lord of his brothers. Not so smart. Because that pushed them right over the edge. They seized the opportunity for vengeance, took him hostage, stripped off his robe, threw him into a pit. I suspect that their plotting drowned out his cries for mercy. Shall we kill him? Shall we leave him here to starve? No, let's instead sell him to a foreign slave trader. And then after collecting payment for their brother's life, they devised a master deception, a secret that would haunt them for years to come. Jacob, the father, plunges into inconsolable grief. Their guilt starts to fester, and Joseph was deprived of all that was familiar to him. Home, family, friends, land. You see, this family embodies all of the abuse and betrayal and violence and suffering of those who came before them. Joseph and his brothers inherit this mess. And if the story stopped where I stopped reading today, all we would know is that they repeated these old patterns. But thankfully, it's not the end of the story. Because as it goes on, beginning with Joseph and then other family members, one by one, they change their behavior. And the whole system changes with them. Joseph learns to rely on God for wisdom, discernment, and sustenance in the midst of his suffering. The angry teenage boy who boastfully proclaimed his dreams of domination, by the end of the story, turns into a merciful family leader. And Joseph's brothers actually take responsibility for their actions. They honestly acknowledge the wrong they committed. The self-preserving and vengeful become remorseful supplicants. Now, it's not all this neat. As in any family, Joseph's family takes two steps forward and one step back as they struggle to be healthy and whole and caring. They sometimes revert to old patterns. But by the end of Genesis, they've entered a new way of being. They've somehow overcome the hurtful legacy of past generations. They've discontinued this sibling jealousy, hatred, and violence that began with Cain and Abel and filtered down to them. There's hope for the next generation. Hope that they can live in peace. Mad Men 2 ends with a glimmer of hope. See, Don Draper lets go of control of his wife. He stops threatening her, and he actually starts to treat his coworkers as fellow human beings. Now, we're going to have to wait till next season to see how this family saga unfolds. But whatever happens, I don't suspect that the writers of Mad Men will have any place for divine providence in that family's redemption. Thankfully, they're not the authors of our lives. God is. And God has woven you and me into a grand story of salvation. The story that begins with betrayal and violence in Genesis, that culminates in Jesus' death and resurrection, and will be brought to fulfillment in eternity when you and I and our families live together in perfect communion with God and one another. In between now and then, Joseph's story is our story. Just as God was present in his family, so God is present in ours. And God calls us to new patterns of relating that foster peace and freedom and reconciliation in our families. So I invite you to come to tomorrow's workshop to explore how you can learn to live in new ways that are life-giving for you and for your family members, because God has promised to be at work in us and in them as well. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.